Georgia Lupi und Stephanie Posavec. Die beiden sind Grafik- bzw. Informationsdesignerinnen, die sich viel mit Datenvisualisierung auseinandergesetzt haben. Die haben im vergangenen Jahr ein Buch veröffentlicht, das in den USA und in Großbritannien herausgekommen ist, mit dem sie eins ihrer jüngsten Projekte dokumentieren. Das Buch heißt Dear Data. In einer Zeit, in der wir uns fragen, wann, wer, welche Daten über uns sammelt, wo wir digitale Daten produzieren und mit der Frage auseinandersetzen, was eigentlich Big Data ist und auch eben in einer Zeit, in der die meisten von uns, die ein Smartphone haben, sich schon mal damit haben navigieren lassen und doch sehr unklar bleibt, wie eigentlich genau dieses Daten produzieren und wir hinterlassen Datenspuren, wie das eigentlich funktioniert. In dieser Zeit haben sich Lupi und Posavec Ähnliches gefragt und sich ein Jahr lang damit befasst, analog ihre eigenen Daten zu sammeln, sich zu überlegen, was für Daten es so gibt in ihrem Leben und haben Woche für Woche Postkarten gezeichnet zu einem bestimmten Thema aus ihrem persönlichen Umfeld und sich gegenseitig zugeschickt zwischen Großbritannien und den USA. Aus diesem Zeichendatenprojekt ist eine sehr, sehr persönliche Annäherung und eine sehr interessante, sehr spannende Art der Datenvisualisierung geworden. Das Buch versammelt alle Postkarten, die sie sich geschickt haben und ist ergänzt durch Erklärungen, sowohl durch die Legenden, die auf den Karten zu sehen sind, um das, was sie visualisiert haben, überhaupt verstehen zu können, aber auch angereichert mit Anekdoten, mit kleinen Geschichten. Wir haben Georgia Lupi und Stephanie Posavec über ihr Projekt befragt und wir haben uns unter anderem dafür interessiert, wie sie eigentlich zu den Themen gekommen sind, zu denen sie Daten erfasst und gezeichnet haben. Und es gibt zum Beispiel in dem Buch eine Woche über Smiling at Strangers. Es gibt eine Woche of Urban Wildlife, eine Week of Wardrobes und eine Week of Compliments. Und wie das genau aussieht, dafür muss man sich unbedingt dieses Buch angucken. Und es ging in unserem Gespräch auch über die zu der Frage, was sie beide eigentlich als Daten begreifen, was die gesammelten Daten für sie bedeuten und wie es jetzt weitergeht. Das Interview dauert eine knappe halbe Stunde und ist Englisch.
How did you communicate, both of you, about what sort of topics could be interesting to focus regarding the data project you started, which now is seen as the book Dear Data?
Before starting the project, we sort of like already knew that we wanted to do a year of data visualization. And so we knew that we wanted to touch upon 52 different topics. And in the beginning, we shared a list, like a spreadsheet of possible topics that we wanted to explore. But then the more the project evolved, the more we also wanted to try to find a variety in the aspects that we touched upon. And so not only our activities, but then our thoughts and things that are in our mind, but also we wanted to extend the data collection and finding data, for example, in our belongings and making a survey of what we own. Like we went, to survey our closets and wardrobes or our books, the books that we own. So we tried really to cover as many aspects of our days and our personalities. So in the first place, we started with a shared list of topics, but then ultimately what we end up doing is like we would text each other on the weekend. So before starting the data collection, and then we will decide together what would feel, the best thing to collect for the week after. So let's say that we had an initial structure, but then we try to be flexible for the data collection of the week.
I'm interested in if, in the end, looking back on all the 52 weeks, the spreadsheet and the real collection merged together, or if it developed to kind of an absolutely other kind of collection of data?
I suppose that the ideas that we had at the beginning of the year, a lot of them, they seemed like really great ideas for data collection at the time, or what we thought would be really profound to gather data on, or these ideas that actually once we were going about like the actual project, we realized that, it would have, those topics wouldn't have lent themselves to the week, and we probably wouldn't have even enjoyed gathering that data, or that the type of data that we said, oh, let's gather this, would actually get in the way. Because at the end of the, we had to be able to live our lives while we gathered our data. We couldn't just sit in a room and take a week off. So I guess that's one way that the spreadsheet was different, but also I suppose that the new topics are probably more of a closer, like that we added later on, are probably more of a closer indication to our real interests and the things that were actually going through our heads at that part of the year. So, and just what probably what over the project, as we were gathering more and more data, topics that we just got really excited about instead of feeling like we had to gather data on that.
What did you learn about yourself, about each other, and about data?
We can have a conversation here, Stephanie, I think.
Okay.
So I think that, like, we always say that in general, we learned how to pay more attention of what's happening around us. But also, I think that we learned that details are really important. And so you can really learn a lot about a person if you focus on, like, apparently meaningless details. But if you truly focus on them, and if you, you know, kind of like paint a portrait of the other person through all of these details. So sometimes I think that you can learn more with the combination of these details about a person, about yourself and another person, than just, you know, focusing on the big pictures. And this is the more, I'd say, you know, philosophical answer.
I would say, like, because of this process, I think we definitely achieved in our goal, which was to get to know each other better. It's been 2 years since we started the project. And so, you know, we've been collaborating very intensively for 2 years. And like, we are now, like, at a level of friendship that I don't think we would have gotten to otherwise had we not shared this data with each other. And I think another thing that we like to, when we talk about the postcards, as we gathered this data, we began to see them as starting points for conversations, as opposed to like, you know, each postcard, like, was the essence of our week, but it was, you know, it was a point to begin a conversation instead of this definitive answer about the other person. So it would spark, like, messages back and forth. And then that would be another way that we would get to know each other better, as we would ask questions about what was found in the data. And Georgia, what about bigger thoughts on data? I suppose, like, one thing I'll add is that it's just a really good reminder that, like, working on this very small human scale, it resonates with people. So since we made the project public, a lot of people have gotten in touch saying that they are kind of working on similar projects or using this kind of format to teach data gathering and data visualization to a wider, to, like, students from all ages, from kids to adults and in professional courses. So I think that's, like, I think human scale, small data, and I know Georgia probably has a lot to talk about this, has really helped people become more interested in this way of working.
Yeah, I think that what really resonated with people is that by looking at our cards, they really could, you know, get to know the two of us as well. And so they started to understand how you can use data to really just, like, write about yourself in this more, in a way, objective, but in the same time, subjective way. And as Stephanie said, this, like, small scale and very friendly scale that we used really helped people understand what data is, because, and I know this is something that Stephanie says a lot, but, like, in previous projects, we somehow, like, found difficult to get people to understand, for example, what is big data or what is open data, because, like, it's important to focus on what data is in the first place. And in general, I think that Working in this very analog way where the drawing, so the data drawing, is the final output. Because, I mean, we both sketched with data, and we used to sketch with data yet still in our professions, but the sketch always time, oftentimes, was an intermediate, like, you know, step to then create a digital visualization. But, like, when the drawing is the final output, we've really been forced to, like, invent 52 new visual representation of data that were very tailored and customized to the data we were working with. And so, like, this idea of, like, taking the analog approach to the very radical sense helped us to, you know, not being limited by software presets and really, really work with our data, starting from what the data would tell us. And, like, I think that the last thing that I would add, and maybe Stephanie, you can elaborate on that because it's something that it's very yours. It's like, I think that the thing was really, you know, we made it approachable also because, like, by drawing with data and by having to draw a postcard every week in, like, a couple of hours, you embrace the fact that your visualization is imperfect. And so there is a way, like, data visualization is supposed to be super perfect and objective, but there is a value in experimenting with imperfection. And Stephanie, I'll leave it to you here.
Oh, no, that's great. That what Georgia said is great. But, yeah, like, we've really embraced the imperfection and aspect of it. And so it has made us more confident to experiment and explore, like, even in, like, more professional parts, like professional projects.
I normally look at the bad aspects of data. So, like, surveillance and all the kind of judgment which comes along with collecting data. So when I saw your book, I was really amazed by how soft and warm data can look. And you said something about, like, you can enlarge an understanding of data and that people know now get a better knowledge about what data is. So what is data to you?
I guess I'm sure what we would probably say is that data can be found everywhere and in everything. And I suppose that, like, yeah, I just see that anything can be data. Like, anything that's really warm and emotional, something that's really cold and scary and clinical, like, you know, things like the number of leaves that the tree outside my window loses every day because it's winter. I could gather data on that, and, you know, it's a totally different type of data than, you know, like something that a government might collect, for example. So I think anything can be data.
Yeah, also because, I mean, I think that we can also say that data is an abstraction in a way, because on the other hand, I mean, anything can be data, but on the complete, like, different spectrum, we can even say that data doesn't exist, that it's information that exists, and information can be codified through data. And so it's interesting because what we did is really we represented this information and this knowledge behind data, and we didn't represent data as these abstract things because we've been really adding a lot of, like, details and context to our data collection. So I think that in this sense, we can say that we can find data everywhere, maybe because data can be really used as a tool to abstract any kind of reality, world. I guess that's my take.
Have you, after having finished your 52 weeks, tried or have you been interested to analyze these different sets of data to become a whole one, and kind of, or did anybody else has approached you to make kind of a profile out of these 52 data sets? Because I imagine that having so many data about your life in different aspects might have the opportunity to kind of profiling
paint things. A portrait of you.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anyone's, I know Georgia likes to talk about the data sets as a self-portrait, but one thing that I'll say that we've always been kind of interested in I mean, we did want to do like a gather data on the postcards, but I mean, we never did it. Like, it'd just be really interesting to treat them as a data set and analyze it based on the colors we used or the themes that cropped up, or just to kind of say, well, what, you know, even in every week, like what things do we talk about more than others, or what shapes and drawing styles do we tend to use, and see if we could, like, yeah, use that. The postcards as a data set, but we haven't done that yet. Georgia?
Yeah, that's a nice thing that we thought of doing, like a special week 53 where we would analyze probably not our own set of cards, but the other person's set of cards. But like, I guess it's like then after we finished the data collection, we started working on the book, and then there have been a lot of like other very, very nice outcomes of the data. And so we focused more on how to tell the story of the project than to probably further analyzing our data set. But what I find interesting sometimes is that we've been receiving a lot of press and articles like on the book, and there are or even like people that uses their blogs to write pieces about their data, and in some of the writings that we've seen, it really seems that people know us. I mean, sometimes I feel it a little bit even intimidating to see how much they know about us. Like, I don't remember exactly what article was that. It was a blog post that was really describing our personalities based on what he found in the data that, that we collected. And so, I feel that if people read our book and our cards like carefully, they can definitely profile us, and they can start seeing the differences and the similarities between the two of us. So, well, yeah, it's definitely possible to paint a portrait with data if we treat data in this very human way.
Has the project affected your awareness about the production of digital data and production of traces, data traces?
I think yes, because how a data set is collected and what we decide to include and to leave out of a data set really clearly determines the course of its life. So I think that by having to produce like 52 data sets for 52 weeks, I think I can speak for both, but then I'll leave Stephanie to conclude here. We really understood even more than in our previous project that really, like, the way you collect the data set, it's so important for how it is then presented. And it made us more aware of the fact that a data set and data is primarily human made, and even if it's collected from a sensor, so even if it's like digitally collected, well, then a human being designed a sensor. And so I think that that's also something that we think that, data is not necessarily perfect because it's primarily human made. And then these 52 weeks of like intensely having to collect and produce data sets by ourselves and for ourselves reinforce this idea. Stephanie, what do you think?
Well, I say, I think that's probably the bit that I found most fascinating about the project, is just seeing how we both, Georgia and I, have the same topic each week, and we each came up with such totally different data sets, you know? So imagine if you sent the same topic out to 100 people, they would all have 100 different data sets, and like all gathering different metrics and so on. And I think that's like really exciting, but it does come back, I think, to, a reminder, this is something that I know, like, Georgia talks about a lot, but yeah, just this data is made by a human, but I think that data is therefore imperfect and infallible as we are, and I think it's, I always talk about how, like, it was really nice to do this project because it gave us a space to be imperfect and make mistakes in the context of data, which often, like, in rightfully so, for many data sets, people have this, there's a very, you need to make sure your data is accurate and honest and correct, but it is just a really good reminder that, humans are imperfect beings, and humans make all data sets, and, it's just like, yeah, how can we be so kind of black and white on the issue? I think, it is always remembering that we are imperfect beings, and we're trying to understand something, but there's always that element of imperfection kind of underlying it.
And like, I really love the title of the book, which like kind of mirrors into the drawings you made, this Dear Data. It sounds really personal, and also like according to that, what you were talking about. And did you grow fond of the data? I mean, do you fell in love with data collections?
I would just say, well, and then Georgie, you can chat, but I just say that there are certain data sets that I really love. And so that like I am emotionally drawn to. I think one is when we gather data on our husbands, like times they annoyed us and times we had feelings of love for them. And so like that data set is like a love letter to our partners. And so I think that's really nice. And then there was another data set where we gathered data on physical contact. And like, I always use this one as an example of, how like that data set meant a lot to me for a really long time, because it was evidence of the last time that I had touched my parents. So like my parents live in Colorado, that's where I'm from. And so they visited London. And so like in the physical contact data set are kind of records of them hugging me, you know? And so like, I normally don't get to do that. So for a really long time until, cause I had missed them. I've seen them since, but like, you know, it was like really, I really had this emotional connection to that data set, cause it was a souvenir of this kind of time spent with my parents.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I definitely second Stephanie on that. And to me as well, since I am also like living in another continent, cause I'm an Italian and I live in New York, and this is another similarity that we have. Now, looking at my cards, since I see my parents like not very often, all of the times that I was with them, it's really a nice visual memory of the moments I was with them. And also, like that year that we collected our cards was a very particular year for me, because after that year, both of my grandparents passed away. And well, I have very, very nice visual memories of the time that I spent with them. With them before they passed away. So I think that really like collecting this data for us was a way to really crystallize 1 year of our life, a very important year of our lives, because we were in our early 30s, and it's definitely a source of very rich memories, like richer memories, definitely more rich memories than if we wouldn't have do this project.
This is so beautiful. I'm just like awestruck. We can't talk. Another question to this. So data for you is more like an invitation for a conversation and a bearer of memories?
Yeah, it's accurate. Yeah.
It's like, to me, it sounds like collecting a treasure.
Yeah. Maybe it depends on the data set that you're collecting. But I think that's what, like what we also talk about is, well, it's that idea of authorship, and behind every data set, there's a human. And, you know, like if you're counting something, if we start with a topic in the week and we will gather data surrounding that topic on things that matter to us and what matters to us most. So it's a, you know, you are counting what matters to you and what has an emotional connection for you. And I think like, on a larger scale, it's also a reminder that, you know, that there are many people who speak about this much more than I ever do, who are much more skilled. But like, you know, where people talk about like data sets that aren't collected, like, you know, why do certain societies, you know, why in America are they're not like, why isn't there a data set like that everyone can access on like police shootings, you know? So people are trying to build that data set. So it's like, what counts, what data you count can matter to yourself or can matter to a society. And then looking at that, you need to think, well, what, but if that's what matters, what doesn't matter? And, you know, how could we solve that? How could we look at that?
Yeah. And also, I mean, if you think about it, we've been really spending a lot of time with our data, because like every week after the data collection, there will be like, yeah, some hours spent to analyze our data and to craft the postcards, and it was a treasure for us, and it was a gift that we would give to the other person and that we would wait to receive on the mailbox or the postbox. So I think that it's true to say that these data collections in this week were kind of like precious for us, because it was really a project that took out all of our weekends for 1 year. So it was definitely something that we were emotionally invested in, for sure.
I was wondering if in the end every of your design cards has reached its destination, because by sending it with a normal or the, with the old way, not by email, I was asking myself if every card reached its destination.
You talk about it, Georgia, because your cards got lost the most.
Yeah, I think that like in the end we were kind of even, but I think so it happens that like one card of mine got returned to me because like it has a like a yellow sticker on top of that saying that they couldn't find the recipient, so we don't really know you know what this postcard went through. We didn't know if it went to London and then it came back. So it's also interesting to see that, you know, the postal, we used to say that the postal service was really the third collaborator in this you know in this exchange. So I had one postcard of mine returned, and then I have a couple of them lost, and also Stephanie got few that you know, they didn't get to me. And what we would do then is we would just redraw exactly the same card, because we didn't send each other digital scans of our postcards, but before sending the card, we would scan, you know, the card for ourselves to have a record. So we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't do to, you know, start from scratch if the card were lost. But yes, definitely, we got some lost cards, and we got like some very damaged, damaged postcards as well.
Now, your postcards got exhibited at the MoMA.
No, actually, the whole collection it has been acquired by MoMA, which doesn't mean that they are exhibited. So it's just been acquired, which means that it will be part of the permanent collection of MoMA from now on and forever. Yeah, hopefully forever.
So, and how do you feel about data and art?
I think, I suppose that I would say that data can be used in art. Yeah, I mean, basically, like, I mean, I generally say, like, George and I say that we're designers, but I often say that I'm a designer whose favorite material is data. So I think, like, I like to be a communication designer, but I think, like, and I mean, well, both of us, like, data is this material, this medium we work in to communicate something about the world, or something within a data set, or something beyond a data set, using that data as a starting point. And so, I personally, like, think that more artists, well, more and more data, you know, we are, creating more and more data every day. And so it's something that every designer needs to get used to dealing with. And I think that an artist, I mean, it's something that people need to discuss and respond to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Stephanie. And also one thing that we said at the beginning of the project, and I think that Stephanie, it was you pointing that out, that what we are doing and what we've been doing is really, in a way, like, keeping on doing what different kind of artists have been doing in the past, which was like sketching our lives, sketching our emotions, and like using, in a way, our material of expression, which is data, to really communicate something that could be a piece of art, it could be a piece of design. So I guess that the reason why we are a little bit uncertain now whether to say data visualization designers or like data art is because we've also been seeing that in our community of data visualization practitioner, there have been like very fruitful conversation about the boundaries between, for example, data visualization design and data art. But sometimes focusing too much on these boundaries, we feel that it's a limitation for what can be done. And so I think that we both believe that, for example, Dear Data is both a design project and an art project, and probably like neither of them. So the idea is really that, yes, data can be used as a material for more meaningful designs and art, but I guess we wouldn't want to really focus on the definitions because it's not what we normally do. I think, like, just to conclude, I think that we both express ourselves more by doing things and by experimenting than by defining the boundaries of what we do.
Would you do such a project once more regarding the intensity the project has faced of working together, as well as the intense work on it?
I don't know if we would do another year, but I think we're definitely interested in like doing some shorter term projects. Mm-hmm. like, you know, like maybe like a month or something like that. But I don't know if I'm ready to do a year again.
No, me neither. I mean, again, I think that, like, being honest, it was a very, very intense and laborious years, and we are very happy that we were also able to really hold each other accountable for, you know, like really being able to stick to the plan and get to the end of the project. And I think that, at least for me, it's one of the biggest achievements, really, to have, you know, to have been done this like personal project that is so laborious. And it was super good to do that. I think that now, yes, we would probably experiment with something a little less intense, or just shorter terms. Also because, I mean, we've been doing already 1 year of collecting data every week, and maybe there is no real point in doing that again as exactly the same format, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, it just had to be something different. Because, yeah, it's hard doing something. Yeah, you have more patience for such difficult things when they're new to you.
Das war ein Interview mit Stephanie Posavec und Georgia Lupi, die sich zwischen den USA und Großbritannien ein Jahr lang Postkarten mit ihren persönlichen Daten hin und her geschickt haben. Das Buch Dear Data ist über die gleichnamige Website bestellbar. Es ist total schön. Man kann es euch nur ans Herz legen, es euch zu kaufen. Es ist in etwa DIN A4 groß, knapp 300 Seiten. Gepflastert voll mit wunderschönen Visualisierungen und total anregenden und interessanten Visualisierungen ihrer Daten. Ein Zitat aus dem Buch, das ich ganz gerne mag, ist: Small data is the new big data. Und einen kleinen Eindruck davon haben die beiden ja gerade auch in ihrem im Gespräch wiedergegeben, was sie darunter verstehen, wie sie sich dem Begreifen von Daten angenähert haben, wo sie eigentlich Daten produzieren und was sie mit den Daten machen können, und haben sich so beschreiben, dass die beiden auch über dieses eine Jahr, in dem sie sich ihre Geschichten eigentlich hin und her geschickt haben, auch kennengelernt und darüber angefreundet. Und um eine Vorstellung zu geben, wie diese Karten genau aussehen, würde ich ein Beispiel gerne noch nennen wollen. Und zwar gibt es eine Woche der Beschwerden, ein Week of Complaints. Und eine Darstellung dieser Week of Complaints funktioniert so, dass, ich weiß gar nicht, ob es Stephanie oder Georgia war, Noten aus den Complaints gemacht hat, die den jeweiligen Level der Beschwerden darstellen. Das heißt, es geht auch extrem viel in diesem Buch um die Frage von Repräsentation von Daten. Wie kann ich das eigentlich verstehbar machen? Und was auch in dem Buch sehr, sehr deutlich wird und was Sie auch sagen, Daten sind nie neutral. Daten sind für Sie zum einen auch ein Beginn einer Konversation, also auch da nochmal eine Vielschichtigkeit von was sind Daten, was möchten wir damit machen und wie kann man sie begreifbar machen. Das haben Sie auf eine extrem schöne Art vermittelt.
Ja, und offensichtlich eben auch so, dass diese Selbstermächtigung und Selbstaneignung von Daten so weit funktioniert, dass auf Ihrem Twitter-Account zum Beispiel immer mal wieder Abbildungen zu finden sind von Postkarten, die Sie jetzt bekommen, wo irgendwelche Leute rund um die Welt irgendwie ihre eigenen Datensets gemalt haben. Also es ist diese Anregung, irgendwie sein eigenes Leben eben auch als Datensammlung oder als Daten, als Geschichtserzählung zu begreifen und darstellen zu können, die gibt sich offensichtlich weiter.
Insofern, schaut auf die Seite deardata.com, deardata.org. Ihr findet es. Es gibt unglaublich viele Rezensionen auch über das Buch. Insofern, viel Spaß.